to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hey guys, before we start, I wanted to remind everybody that we can now be found on Stitcher, iTunes, and in Podbean. So you can go to your favorite app and download our show. Here we go. Hello and welcome to show number 13 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. On this week's show, we're going to spend some time talking about what we do when we're down at Walt Disney World, when we come back to the resorts and we don't feel like swimming. If you don't realize it, there's plenty of things to do down there, and we're going to talk about some of our favorites.
This is Ed.
This is Jimmy.
This is Farrah.
This is Tom.
And here we go. On tonight's show, we decided to go over some of the things we like to do back at the resorts when we don't want to go swimming. Walt Disney World's a great place, and the resorts truly reflect some of the great ideas they have to keep people occupied and on vacation.
One of the great things I like to do that I don't believe a lot of people know about is that at the Wilderness, actually at Fort Wilderness, the campground, there is a stable where they keep all the horses that are used around the park, including like Cinderella's carriage and I guess, you know, for various other, like the hayride and different things they have at Fort Wilderness itself. But you can go in there and it's like a little mini petting zoo and you can actually check out the horses that are used in the parks. The kids love it. And it's a great Disney, non-Disney activity thing to do that it's more relaxed and just kind of a little brief getaway from the, you know, the hectic run of that actually being in the park. It's a nice little half day or just little chill out thing to do that I love. The kids love it.
That's pretty awesome.
I think I remember that. Was that over by the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review Building? Behind it?
It is. It's if you're on the side away from the lake, it's to your left of the Hoop-Dee-Doo Review place. And it's big, actually. It's very big. The last time we went, they had other animals too. I think goats and just some random farm type animals. But you know, they love seeing the horses. You know, so, I mean, who doesn't want to see Cinderella's horses? You know,
that's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's one of our favorite things. You'll hear about a couple others too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody else a chance.
Well, sure. Before we get away from Fort Wilderness, one of the other things we did over there, which was pretty fun, and actually, since we did this, it was probably about 8 or 9 years ago, we did the campfire where they had a movie, the campfire, and we also made s'mores. And it was a really fun experience for the kids because they were kind of young, and it was led by Chip and Dale. So Chip and Dale, the characters, came out, and they opened up the campfire, basically sang a couple songs. Then the movie went on, and everybody watched their movie. They had a nice big campfire out in the center where you can go up with sticks that you could purchase or find in the campgrounds. And it was a really fun time, something different. What's really cool about getting over to Fort Wilderness is, at least the way I found it the easiest, go to the Magic Kingdom and then take a boat from the Magic Kingdom. We always like to do that kind of as a break for the Magic Kingdom for us sometimes, just to take a boat to one of the resorts or over to Fort Wilderness, kind of sometimes even plan a meal just to get away from the park.
That is good. And the boat ride itself is kind of a fun part of it. We do the same thing. We usually try to book one of our meal reservations around that part of the day that we plan to go and do that kind of not off-site, but off-park thing. And one thing I like about, because we've done the Chip and Dale campfire thing too, and if I'm not mistaken, that's kind of the one, the original one, that got that whole thing rolling. Now at many of the other resorts, I know they do it at the Boardwalk, at the Yacht and the Beach Club, and I think at some of the other ones as well. They do the s'mores either on the beach or wherever I guess is the best location for it. But they do the whole s'mores movie thing outside. I guess they realized it was such a great thing that they like to offer it to their other resort guests as well.
Oh yeah, it's a fun time. One of the other things they seem to be doing throughout all the resorts, at least from the stories I've heard and what we've seen, is they're offering a movie night. They'll set up a projector and a big screen, usually by their pool, or if they have a lake or a beach or something like that there. And then you can have all the kids go down and watch a movie, like at 7 or 8 at night. And it's another break from the parks, especially after a long, hard day of running around.
Yeah, they actually do that at the value resorts. But all the pool, at everyone we stayed at now, every night they play a different movie and they set up one of those big inflatable screens.
Oh yeah, it's a fun time.
Yeah, we always take advantage of that at least one night.
One of my favorite things to do with the resorts was is actually, and we've talked about him before, but it's actually Yeehaw Bob over at Port Orleans Riverside. To me, it's one of the best distractions. I mean, it's almost an attraction, but it's one of the really my favorite things to do down there. Even if we're not staying at Port Orleans, we like to take a trip over there just one night to go sit and watch. Even especially with the kids, they really, really enjoy it. He really does a good job involving everyone.
Yeah, it's a really fun show. For those who might not have heard it, you can go back to show number 11. That was the show where we did the sounds from the Magic Kingdom. Well, I kind of fudged it a little bit because the last sound effect we had on there was from Yeehaw Bob. So you get to get a little experience of what he sounds like on that show.
I don't think, I mean, just for something that's just something that didn't cost you anything to go experience, I don't think there's anything better out there than going sit for a night for a few hours and watching him and watching how the crowd and the kids really get into it.
Okay, well, one of the things I like to do at the resorts is something at the Polynesian they do. They have a tradition over there, and if you notice, a lot of these resorts develop these traditions over time. Well, the Polynesian tradition they have at the end of the day is the torch lighting ceremony. It's a really, really cool ceremony where you'll have one of the guys coming over from the Polynesian show, spins the flaming torch around, and they sing a couple island songs, and then they begin to light the torches throughout the property. It was pretty cool to see. Nothing I would plan the day around going to, but if you're in the resort getting ready for dinner or something like that, or just needed something to do, it was fun to watch.
Oh, I like that. And I did not know that. I
I didn't
love the
know that either.
Polynesian.
That's pretty
That's a
cool. I
good
never heard of
one.
that.
Kind of similar to that one that I learned about only recently, the last time that I stayed at the Wilderness Lodge, is that in at the very top of the main hall, the main lobby, outside is, they have the flagpole with the flags and stuff. Well, I didn't realize it, but they have like I forget what it's called, like the family of the day. Like you can go there when you check in and say, are all the spots reserved for the flag ceremony? Or it has a particular name, but if you say flag ceremony, they'll know what you're talking about. And if they have it available, they'll pencil you in, and then you have to go down like really early, I think like 6:30 or 7 a.m., and you go to the top on the outside of the main lobby, and you do the flag ceremony of raising the flag and everything. It's just it has to be an incredible view up there, and I mean really, how many people get to do that? If you can swing that is an awesome Disney memory to have.
That's pretty cool.
That's my goal is to do it at least once in my life now. It's been booked every time I've asked about it since then.
I bet it books up pretty quick, but like you said, what a memory. I mean, that's a memory you keep forever.
And the trick of it is how many people really even know about it.
Right.
So you
Well,
never always should ask. You never know.
well, a few more now.
yeah, I think I blew it out of the water now.
Right. So Ed, going back to the ceremony at the Polynesian.
Right.
Did you just happen upon that, or did you hear that from someone?
Oh no, we knew about it. They actually announced it when we checked in.
Oh,
That's
did they?
yeah, they mentioned that's something fun that you should check out and see. So we found out it then.
Cool, because a lot of those they don't tell you. There's a lot of things that go on that they don't necessarily tell you about, that you kind of just have to kind of catch it and then kind of word of mouth.
Right. Well, that's we heard about that over at the Pop Century by word of mouth, as far as they do the hustle every afternoon. Everybody gets together and the staff basically teaches you how to do the hustle
That's
for
pretty funny.
the sick the disco days.
That's
What?
funny.
Oh yeah, in the lobby.
Oh.
And I forget if they made an announcement or if it was just in the lobby they were saying that, but that's an everyday event also.
What
No
time?
kidding.
Do you remember what time that's at?
I want to say like 5:30, 6, but I'm not sure.
Oh, I'm so the next I
Now
absolutely
you're
the
going to
next
Pop
time I
Century.
go, even if I don't stay at the Pop Century, we will be doing the hustle one day at Pop Century. That's one of our part the huge things that we love to do when we go to Disney World. We like to do the parks, of course, but then we also like to throw in a whole bunch of this random stuff that's just fun. And doing the hustle
It's fun.
is, yeah. How much more random fun can you get than learning how to do the hustle?
No doubt.
To all the trips I've done to Disney, I've only stayed at two different places, Port Orleans and Animal Kingdom. One of the things I got to do at Port Orleans is that my mother and I treated us all to a carriage ride. Starts off at Riverside, it takes the walking trails over to the French Quarter and back. It's about maybe a 20-minute trek overall with a very beautifully groomed horse, a nice vintage carriage with the guide that's willing to talk about the resorts and at the time it was about the renovation of the French Quarter that was done probably about what, 8, 9 years ago now. It was fun. It's a little on the pricey side for a 20-minute thing, but it was fun. There was also the Animal Kingdom. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things you can do there. I just haven't gotten a chance really to do any of it. They do have the opportunity to see the animals at night through military grade night vision goggles.
Oh.
They can sit there and watch it. It starts right at sundown. So there's no specific start times. It all depends upon what time the sun goes down that day. And I believe it goes till about 9 o'clock. So you get the chance to sit there with these goggles and just watch the animals in a nocturnal setting, which is kind of, I would assume would be pretty cool. They also do a lot of storytelling at around a campfire at Animal Kingdom. Kind of back to Port Orleans, just like Jamie, I do tend to do what I can to see Yeehaw Bob when I can. And we tried his last trip, but he was on, he had a day off and he had some guy playing the saw. And I'm like, I really want to watch a guy playing the saw.
I had no idea that they actually have another act in there when Bob's not on, because I think he's
Either.
off 2 nights a week, and
This is the
that's
day that he was supposed to. This is a night that he was supposed to be there. Is one of his days that he actually does perform, but he must have had another engagement or just took a vacation day or something. Because he had a saw player there, and we're there for maybe 15 seconds. Like, no.
So Yeehaw Bob's backup is a guy strangling cats.
But if you think about it, the Roost where they play and the rooms right next to it where they have the food court over there,
It's like a boatyard.
I was going to say, it kind of has the saw, definitely plays into that whole environment. So, okay,
Yeah.
pretty good.
Yeah, because it's a
And I
boatyard.
actually
If you
think
look
you.
at the restaurant next door to the River Roost, I mean, it's the frame of a like the hull of a big wooden boat, and there's like all type of period tools hanging all over the walls and stuff. So it does fit, but I don't know how entertaining someone playing a saw is.
It's not very, at least in my opinion. It's
That was something to see at least once.
If you dislike cats and you want to see somebody that sounds like he's strangling them, then that's your show. Now, Tom, I think you actually hit on something else too when you first started talking, because you were talking about the carriage drive, but you said we went on a walking trail, 20-minute walk to get there, and that's another thing that I kind of like to do. I haven't done the one at the Port Orleans, the Riverside, and the French Quarter, but I know for sure at Fort Wilderness, there's all sorts of trails that go through the woods, and I love trail running. So, that's and it I know to a lot of people, going on vacation and getting up in the morning and going and run, is not exactly woohoo, but I love it. That's, you know, it's awesome. And I know you can do that at several resorts.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I also will say that another thing that's kind of, we found that's kind of fun to do is that we visited the Boardwalk, Resort. There's a lot of things to do there as well. I'm a big avid sports fan, so getting to visit the ESPN restaurant, that was really a cool experience. There's so many neat memorabilia things inside that store to see, between autographed jerseys, hundreds of autographed baseballs, pictures, any kind of sporting event on TV you can think of, and a very kind of a neat menu there. Like, for example, I had a peanut butter and jelly hamburger there, and it was actually, it sounds a little odd.
Fair as it, ooh. Disgusting.
Fair as it, oh. 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 Oh, wow. Okay.
But yeah, you never know. Those combinations do taste well sometimes. A little ratatouille mix in there.
Yeah, there's
love that area.
There's the, you know, the boardwalk games out there, and
yes, we've done that.
Centers, and there's, it's, that was one thing we enjoyed, was just, we didn't spend a whole lot of time there because we had to get back to Epcot to for another event that we're going to see. So we didn't have a lot of time to spend there, but that was pretty fun too. It was a little cool that day. I think it'd be a lot more enjoyable on a warmer night. That was one of the cooler nights in our trip, where we actually had to buy my son a sweatshirt just because it was chillier than normal. So it wasn't the most ideal weather that day, but it was, I think, you know, for, especially if you're staying on the boardwalk, I could spend a whole day just on that whole pier, I think. But I'd like to experience that more. There's a lot of things at resorts I would love to do. It's that we're so park oriented when we're down there that we sometimes only leave ourselves like a day or not even a full day to do stuff as outside in resorts. It's just something that we haven't spent a lot of time trying to do it yet. And hopefully maybe someday we can actually try to plan our more days and to do that, because we just haven't had a chance to experience that stuff very much.
You know, going back to doing the carriage ride at Port Orleans, and then there they also have the boats that you can rent. They have surreys you can rent. They have bikes you can rent. I mean, there's all kind of stuff to do there. We actually took the boat from Port Orleans Riverside to Downtown Disney. And that's a pretty, I mean, other than just transportation, it's a pretty nice little boat ride. And one of the really cool things is you get to see the Treehouse Villas on the waterway on the way to Downtown Disney, which is pretty cool. Because, I mean, I guess unless you really go and look for those, you don't really see them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was, those are cool too. Especially when, you know, they used to be used for staff members to stay at. Now you can actually stay at them as a guest, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. The Surreys was something I was going to bring up about the boardwalk when Tom was just talking about it. That whole boardwalk area, the whole big circle from the Swan Dolphin all the way around to the boardwalk. Every time we go, that's one thing we make sure we spend at least one evening there. One of my kids' favorite things to do is all the street performers they have on the boardwalk area. They love the little magician, the guy that makes the plates spin. It never fails that one or both of them get pulled into the show, and they just love hanging out, doing that, doing the games, doing some eating all kind of boardwalk type foods. There's the surreys that they have that you can self-pedal all the way around. The only thing you got to be aware of is that, you know, it is man-powered, and part of it is uphill. You got the little hill part that is kind of closest to Epcot, and unless you got a lot of manpower, and you know, it's a little tough at certain points. But another thing they have there, I'm not sure if they still have it, but they did last time we went, was you can rent rollerblades and rollerblade around there, and it's just tons of fun. We always make sure we, like, once again, we'll schedule our little dining reservation at one of the restaurants, usually at the Yacht Club, Yachtman Steakhouse or whatever, and then we go out and we do all kind of crazy, fun boardwalk type activities.
That's really cool.
See, that's a whole nother mindset. I can't imagine going to Walt Disney World, trudging through the parks, and then going rollerblading. I could see rollerblading through the parks, maybe. That would be kind of an interesting way to tour.
Well, I learned after our first family trip, when we really did it wrong, where mom kind of was taskmaster, making everybody run. I learned after that how to make it, when we're in the park, light on the family and me being the runner. So we kind of, having gone to Disney so much, I'm able to kind of work our strategy through the park where everybody else is kind of, walking leisurely and mom's doing the one running and getting fast passes or whatever. Cause I'm actually just a naturally wired that way to run and walk fast. But so that we, they're kind of not exhausted. And then we will go back to the hotel, chill out, recoup. And then when we get ready for our evening activities, they're ready to go.
Yeah, it's a good strategy. And you're right. You only have to have one bad trip before you want to go back with a better plan. You're going to look forward to when they get older, though, because we're at the stage now where the kids are starting to pick up on a lot of that, where Quinn is the fast pass runner now when we get into the park. So, as they get older, you get to take advantage. But I know what you're talking about. It's a lot easier for you or for somebody who knows what they're doing to get places and to do things and to let the family kind of relax a little bit.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Those meltdowns. Did you ever notice – somebody pointed this out to me, and until they did, I never noticed it. But now, all the time I do. When you go to the parks around 11:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you're going to start hearing a lot of crying. That tends to be the amount of time it takes for most five and unders to kind of start breaking down and freaking because they're so hungry and tired already. So next time you're down there, try to keep your ears open for that. That's pretty funny when it happened.
I'm so glad we're past that point.
As we continue on with this discussion, Tom and Farrah both brought up a point, and I want to mention it to make sure everybody realizes you don't have to stay at these resorts to do some of these things. A lot of the things we're talking about today can be experienced from somebody from a different resort or for sometimes even staying off-site. As long as you don't have to schedule something or make a reservation, then there's no reason why you couldn't actually kind of tour around. One of my favorite things is going on the monorail route and the monorail loop and touring around the hotels there. Again, just to take a break from the Magic Kingdom or from Epcot. One of the things I did, which I got to admit that as a Disney nerd, I think this is okay. And I think I could say it, but there's occasions when I've gone to Walt Disney World alone, call it a solo trip. Sometimes to meet people up down there, once actually not, just to basically have a good time. One of the trips I made it a point to go over to the Wilderness Lodge. They have a special room over there called the Carolwood Pacific Room, and it's basically a room dedicated to Walt's love of trains. It's a really cool room that they have a little bit off the Villas lobby where you'll see a lot of photographs, news articles, captions, and things like that, and also a lot of physical things, things from his track from the house behind it when he lived in Hollywood. They actually have a boxcar from the railroad he had out there. It's a really cool exhibit.
I didn't know that. I've stayed at the Wilderness Lodge several times. That's something I will definitely look for the next time we go.
Oh, yeah. If you have any interest in trains, I think it's worth the pilgrimage to get over there and take a look at that.
Absolutely.
That's very cool.
Did you know that at the kind of on that same concept, did you know that originally at Fort Wilderness, there was a train, a smaller train, that went around Fort Wilderness. I guess it went from the front to the back, the front to the back. It eventually was discontinued, I think, because of the maintenance cost of having to keep it up and running. But I had read up on it not that long ago, and it just made me sad that it wasn't still there, because it sounded like such an awesome, fun thing to do, to be able to take the kids on a little train ride through Fort Wilderness.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. And what could be more about Walt than having to do with trains? Everything I've read, everything I've seen, always has his big interest in trains being primary when talking about the parks and designs and things like that. That's actually one of the tours we haven't done that's on our list is they have a train tour at the Magic Kingdom where you can go to the park, you get there early enough to see them start the trains up and get everything ready for the day. It's supposed to be really, really incredibly good.
I bet it is. I would love to do that.
Now, I don't know if anybody else has anything that they want to bring up, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Two non-activity activities that we do, and it's going to sound maybe a little crazy, but it's kind of just relaxation, unwind at the end of the day. We would, especially when we stay at Wilderness Lodge. You get home from the park, kids take the baths, they put them up in their little bunk beds. And yeah, of course, it works out better when you're actually in a room in the main lobby. But we would put them to bed, they're knocked out, and then we would leave the room, and we're literally walking like 15 feet because you're in the main lobby. So you're on a balcony overlooking down into the main lobby, and we would go sit at the rocking chairs, and we would pull out the candy and junk food because, you know, of course you bought some that day, and we would sit there. I would bring out my book because I've always got a book, and we would just sit there, and then we're talking like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, no matter what time it was, at the end of the day, we would go sit and rock and watch the cleaning staff vacuum, and it just was the... one of the best parts of the day, and it was absolutely nothing.
Just a wind down.
Nice unwind. And then we did, we do something similar during the day at the Grand Floridian at least once, but with the whole family is we go to, and usually we don't stay at the Grand Floridian, but we would go to the Grand Floridian and hang out in the main lobby because there's so much interesting things going on. You can sit there for an hour, and I guarantee you will see at least 5 different wedding parties. Like, me and my daughter play who's the got the ugliest bridesmaids dresses, who's got the prettiest. Yeah, I mean, it's just the craziest fun non-activity thing to do, but it's just fun, just really, really fun. You know, if we kind of time it once again when maybe she's doing, we schedule the princess tea or dinner at one of the restaurants there, then we can kind of work it so that we're sitting there the hour before it's time for us to go into there and just watch all the brides get their pictures taken on the beautiful stairways and make fun of bridesmaid dresses, basically.
And for those men out there that are listening to this show, the Floridian lobby also has some really great music. They have a really cool piano player in there, and every time he goes off, they have a really nice band that's up on the balcony to play. So it's really nice kind of sitting around enjoying that atmosphere.
Yes, that's exactly it. There's like tons of things going on. There's people walking everywhere. There's the music. If it's Christmas time, there's the great gingerbread display that you talked about last week. It's just fun, 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 and off the wall.
Well, that's a lot of the stuff that we like to do other than swim. Of course, every resort's got their arcade. So if you have kids, I'm sure you're going to stop there. If you book the trip through Disney, they give you that little card anyway, so you have a credit to go check out the arcade. So it makes it worth the while. Every resort, of course, has a lounge/bar. Some have more or better than others. The Polynesian has a really cool one that it's basically upstairs next to Ohana's. It's a great, great, great bar. The drinks they have out there are incredible.
We went there while we were waiting to eat at Ohana. Just real quick side note, we were waiting there, and we just we didn't want to just order what we normally would at just any other bar. So we just asked the bartender, you know, just some of the fruity, you know, kind of Polynesian style cocktails, and he me and my wife each would order a different one so we can just try, and we drank 3 or 4 and just following the bartender's recommendation. It was pretty awesome.
Yeah, and let me tell you, Jimmy, that the pictures that you posted, I got enjoyment out of those because I was so jealous, and it just reminded me of the first few trips I took with my family to Disney World, because every time, you know, we would go, my daddy, they would get those fruity drinks, those cups that look like the Polynesian masks, and envious.
You know, when we got there, we were just waiting to get seated, and I'm like, you're sitting around there, they got all this great stuff going on, and it's just you're in that atmosphere. I'm like, do I really want to just sit here and like order a Miller Lite? No, I want to be in it. You know, I want to feel the Polynesia. I want to be feel in pot. You know. So we followed his suggestions, and he turned us on some really good drinks that we probably wouldn't normally drink.
I'm actually looking at one of those tiki glasses you're talking about. I picked that up as a souvenir a couple trips ago.
Did you really?
They actually sell it at the gift shop across the lobby from there.
That's cool.
I love that. Well, and then of course, too, at those resorts, the ones that are around Seven Seas Lagoon, there's the electrical water parade, of course, but I think, you know, everybody knows about that. But 9:30, 10 o'clock, you can just go sit out and watch that.
You know what, Farrah, though, for those of us that don't know, why don't you kind of fill that in a little bit? Tell us what that's about.
Oh, great. Well, from as long as I've been going, this has been going on, and I hope they never get rid of it. Of course, they have all the different resorts. They're all around the lagoon. Fort Wilderness, Wilderness Lodge, the Contemporary, Polynesian, Grand Floridian, and they also do it in Magic Kingdom. There's about, I think it's 10 or 15 barges connected with these big, they look like big wire screens, and there are lights attached to them and a sound system. And they do a little water show. They kind of, the boats pull them out in front of whatever resort. They work on a schedule. So like, and I don't know the schedule offhand, but if it's at 9 o'clock at Polynesian, it's always at 9 o'clock at Polynesian. And then they truck it over to Grand Floridian and then maybe over to the Contemporary. But you can go out, get you a drink, sit by the beach area and watch the electrical water parade, and it's just really, really neat. Great cheesy music, and they do like all the different little sea creatures. No, I think Neptune and the octopus, and each one has their own theme music, and then they do like a little salute to America at the end. And as long as I've been watching it, I think it's pretty much been the same show. They may have tweaked a little bit of the last part with the salute to America, but it like I said, it's been going on for as long as I can remember, and we love it.
Oh, it's a great, great show. Real quick story. When I was 10, 11 years old, it was the first time we went to the parks. And when we were down there, we stayed at the Polynesian. This was in the mid-70s. And I had seen that. We got back from the parks. We were all relaxing. I had gone, I think, out to the beach to just hang out or walk around. You know, as an 11-year-old, you don't want to hang with the family all the time. And the show was going on. Well, it took me the next 10 years to convince my family that actually happened, until basically the internet came about, where we can actually look it up, see that it was there, and then they believed me. For those that don't have a chance to see the electrical water parade or the pageant, you can still see the floats. If you are on the monorail between the Grand Floridian and the Magic Kingdom itself on that stretch of track, there's a little canal that goes off the lake there. When you look down the canal, you'll see these big black floats just hanging out. That's the parade. So they kind of hang out there during the daytime. Okay, well, that's pretty much some of the things we like to do when we go back to the resorts and we really don't feel like swimming. We'd like to hear what you want to do or what you have done in the past. We're always looking for new things to do. Let us know what you have or what you've done, and give us an email. You can reach us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, and we'd really be interested to hear what you have to say.
And if you're looking to book a trip, please give me a call at 504-304-4904. That's Once Upon a Time Travel. You can also email us at onceuponatimetravel@yahoo.com or look us up on Facebook and contact us.
Okay, well, everybody, thanks again for listening. We really appreciate everybody's interest, and keep the emails coming, and we'll see you next week.
Guajarini. Bye, guys.
Adios.
Welcome to Soar. My name is Patrick, and I'll be your chief flight attendant today. We'll begin boarding in a few minutes, but first I'd like to acquaint you with some important safety information. When the doors to your flight open, please take a seat and store all carry-on items in the underseat compartment. This includes cameras, purses, hats, and, of course, these little beauties. Next, fasten your seatbelts, inserting them into the buckle on your right. If smaller aviators don't measure up to the height indicator on the seat, just put the belt through the loop in the center strap before buckling.
Make sure all smaller.
Nice work, pal. Soon you will be airborne. So if you or your little aviators have a fear of flying or of heights, you might want to wait for your party at the arrival gate. Okay, let's review. That is seatbelt, carry-on item, safety strap, fear of heights, keep your hands and arms inside at all times. Anything else? Yeah. Have a nice flight. Attention passengers, we are now ready for boarding, beginning with row one, followed by two, and then three. on behalf of our entire flight crew, thanks for soaring with us. To unfasten your seatbelt, just push down on the red button on your right. Be sure to gather all your carry-on items from the underseat compartment and exit to your right. Have a great stay here in Epcot or wherever your final destination may take you.